Hello, good afternoon, everybody. It's very nice to be here in Australia, even though it took something like 24 hours to fly right here. But you know, of course, it's whenever you come to, for example, to Europe, it's the same. It's nice to also vice versa do that. My name is Jaakko Suominen, and my colleague here is Anna Sivula, and I'm representing kind of Born Digital part of our dynamic duo, because I'm professor of digital culture at the University of Turku. My background is in cultural history, and I'm doing research on cultural history of computing, for example, and about something about games as well. My colleague Anna Sivula works as a senior lecturer of history at the Department of Cultural Heritage Studies, so that's why she's representing that cultural heritage part of our paper. And she has done research lately mainly on industrial heritage, not game industrial heritage, I would say, more like cotton mills and that kind of stuff. So a little bit, I would say.
The becoming of industrial heritage to Finland,
yeah.
The emergence of the stuff.
Yeah, and our paper title is a little bit different from what is printed in the program, so you can see the difference. And I would like you to take a look. Well, maybe two important issues. There's a word cultural heritage process. So our perspective, the cultural heritage is like that. We think about it. It's as a process where for example, for the artifacts, the new kind of meaning. Or new kind of value during the process have been given. And then the case of the first commercial computer game in Finland, the most important word probably is the first. We will talk a lot about why it's so important to recognize, or is it important to recognize what is the first of something that will be the idea of the talk today. Okay, actually our paper which is you can download the paper and read it. It's only 9,000 words. We couldn't wrap it up for 2,000 words. But yeah, it's still a draft, and we have to rework a lot. But we are going to try to publish it somewhere someday. It's not about the Commodore 64 computer, but we would wanted to have this picture here for illustrating at least one point, which is that of course we know, for example, when we are preserving something, for example, related to games culture, we can't preserve everything. We have to make choices. We have to make selections. And how do we argue that something is more important than other things? One way to do is that we need history. We need writing of history where one is able to, for example, compare things and decide and tell about turning points and that kind of things, and tell about certain artifacts which for certain reason is recognized as being valuable for preservation and for becoming cultural heritage. And that kind of process of writing of history is in many cases, probably in every case, kind of creation of monuments. And here you can see one example of game cultural monument in very many ways. This is an advertisement from the first issue of Finnish computer magazine called Mikrobitti. The first issue, first number, 84, and advertisement about Commodore 64 computer, which is here connected to other very recognized monument, Statue of Liberty. This is the way, I don't know if it's, that was the same kind of way presenting the Commodore 64 in other countries. Have you seen this kind of? But at least in Finland, that was the way they used. Commodore 64 in Finland, and in, for example, in Australia, I believe so, and other countries has recognized as being kind of monument because it was a sort of turning point during the 1980s within the computer user culture, the first very popular home computer in Finland, for example. And in Finland, it was for computer and digital gaming, it was the most important device. Because before that, in Finland, we didn't have that much, for example, arcades. And so quite many people in Finland, they started to play games with computer, 64 computer. 64 computer. Yes, this is one example of monument. Then another example, and with this picture, I have 2 points. Here you can see the game review about the game called Sanction. And the reviewer is very important because Niko Nirvi, who wrote the review, became very quickly during the 1980s as a kind of the most popular game journalist in Finland because his unique style of writing and used humor. And here is the review of the first popular, internationally popular, the Finnish game. So Niko Nirvi starts his review with the following words. Now it's time to put Finlandia anthem on a record player, Finlandia composed by Jean Sibelius, because the first Finnish game has conquered the world. So because this Sanction was the first game published by, I believe, Thalamus, the British firm, which became a kind of hit game in not only in Finland but other countries. And Nirvi conclude his review by saying that playability is huge, and so one could claim that the new classic has spawned. And well done, Stavros Fasoulas, the programmer. Paavo Nurmi of Computer Games. He is referring to the famous Finnish athlete from the early 20th century who won several gold medals from the Olympics, for examples. 2 points. Again, this is a kind of contemporary definition, but underlining the importance of the being the first of something. I would say this is history writing, even though it's kind of contemporary way to representing something. Do you have something? Something
to say? These two examples here are kind of acts of monumental history made by amateur contemporary historians.
Yeah,
and so underline that they were amateurs.
Yeah, so the second point of this picture is that the role of amateurs in writing history, meaning people not trained historians, is very important. So when we are talking about this, is obvious, I think, quite trivial thing to say, but, for example, within the game cultures, there are a lot of historical representations made by, for example, hobbyists, for example, journalists, but other people, which are very important in the process of something becoming as a cultural heritage. And, for example, this review, I would say, had the big impact afterwards when, for example, this game Sanction has recognized as being a kind of sort of milestone or turning point in Finnish history of game industry. Our paper is not that much about these two objects or artifacts for Commodore 64 or this Sanction game, but what we more talk about paper is about those games which were not recognized as being the first when they were introduced at the first place. During the last, I would say, 5 years or something like that, there has been at least some debate, a public debate on Finland, what is the first commercial game ever published in Finland. And in our paper, we are not that much interested in what really was the first one, but we are more interested in about the discourse of talking about what was the first and it seems and at least within the hobbyist community there has been more and more writings and historical representations dealing with these issues, what was really the first one. And here you can see one suggestion, the game called Raharuhtinas, Money Prince, published in 84, which, like I mentioned, it wasn't recognized as being the first when it was published. And when we are talking about this issue, of course, it's very problematic. What is Finnish? what is meaning commercial publication? For example, what Melanie was talking about, that homebrew kind of issue that they people sold their games. So it's very controversial or problematic to claim something to be in that sense what was the first one. And then of course the third thing which is problematic is or fourth is what is game, because there were releases which were more or less there was some sort of software which had some kind of aspects which are they could be think that we can think that they were games or not. It's not so easy to define that. But anyhow, we were interested in how this discourse or how this debate on the first Finnish game, how and why it's has been emerging during the last 5 years. And I have a couple of explanations for that. One is because of game industry in Finland has getting bigger and bigger role and kind of public debate and public discussion about the meaning or importance of cultural industries and game industry within that context has been game industry has recognized publicly as an important area, and that probably means that kind of origin stories of the new industry, there are sort of need for that. Do you want to comment?
Something similar happened when Finland got its industrial heritage, which happened in early 70s. Before that, we had only factories, and suddenly we had empty factories. And when we had the empty factories, there was need to do something to them. And there's lots of international context to the invention of industrial heritage. But the discussion on what was the first branch of industry, most important branch of industry in Finland, what are the most important monuments of Finnish industry, began in quite a similar way in early 70s that is happening now with these computer games.
Yes, so this discourse and debate about the first commercial game in Finland is related to certain kind of turning point, the new phase of what is the situation with the gaming industry and digital gaming in general in Finland, in other countries. Of course, there is as well kind of international context. And I would say that because of emerging interest towards kind of local histories of game cultures that is emerging at the moment, that I think that that's why in Finland as well there is this kind of discussion.
And the third context is, of course, the post-Nokia context.
Post-Nokia context in Finland, in because after the fall of Nokia Corporation, there are somewhat new need for new industries and new origin stories for these industrial branches. Yes, this discourse about the first game, of course, it started with the definition of this game and saying that this was the first one published by the Finnish firm called Amersoft. Here you can see few historical representation, different kind of. This is there's for example video review of the game, arguing that saying that probably the first commercial publication in Finland was this game, and it was talking about this game, and website, other website, as well. But then during the last year, it has been new information coming, claiming that it wasn't the first. Of course, this is very typical. 5 minutes, yes, that's fine. That the game called Mehulinja, Choose Line, by the same game programmer called Simo Ojaniemi, that this was the first one. And in our paper, obviously, we are using theories by, for example, Michel Foucault and Paul Ricoeur and other scholars by elaborating or rethinking about the idea why these kind of origin stories, why they have been created and why they are very problematic ones. But we are not going to go those details in during that presentation. But still, even though we are more interested in this discourse and not about the fact what was the first one, it of course it's kind of fascinating idea to discover and solve the puzzle of mystery of the first commercial game in Finland. And actually, because we started to write this paper, we had to try to make our own research on the issue. Meaning, for example, that I started to interview the company workers from Amersoft. And it seems that they don't really remember anything about the first publications. I think, I don't know whether or not it's typical, but I think that at least it tells that during that time when they were releasing the games, they didn't think about it that important and kind of historical turning point when what they were doing. They remember a couple of newer games in some other reasons, but not the first publications. We got some information from, for example, from the magazines published by the Finnish computer distributor, who had magazines and, for example, representing and telling about the first Commodore VIC computer contest where I think the first programmers of the games they published were got prizes. Here's Simo Ojaniemi in the middle of the picture. But still, the puzzle or mystery of the first commercial game in Finland it's not solved. Even if we tried it a little bit, but not it's not possible to solve, I would say, with the sources we have. We don't have archival sources, for example. And I haven't seen the packages of the games yet. There are some left, but for example, these amateur collectors have not put serial number of the games online, and they we are trying to look for the original packages to get some more information of the publication, what was the published the first. But anyhow, the main point of the paper was that we have to think about cultural heritage as a process where there's an original use for the artifacts, for example, these games mentioned in this presentation. And then we are using history in different kind of representations of history for giving new use or function for the artifacts. And during this process, it increases the symbolic value of the certain games, for example, which are then after during the process as recognized as being a part of cultural heritage. And then this process is kind of circle, of course, that we can reevaluate or rehabilitate even some artifacts later on. So it's not ending the process. What is cultural heritage, someday they can be, of course, new object recognized as being a part of cultural heritage. But still, that is the, these are the main points, I would say.
And to add something is that the implotment of the frame story, the historiographical frame story of the cultural heritage is often made by amateur historians before the professional comes to the scene and gets... have even a possibility to say something about the history of the...
So that is one main argument, I would say, we would say here in our paper, that it's not that the historians are there, the first ones, but the kind of hobbyists and enthusiasts and amateurs writing the history.
Yeah, and in the case of Finnish game culture, the amateur historians or the hobbyists were often trained historians as well.
Yes, that is one point we must think about and recognize that there are kind of mixing roles, that the same persons, for example, who are collectors, like we have noticed here, collectors and hobbyists, they can be professional historians, of course, and doing research on their kind of
and
own...
And journalists.
Yes, and journalists, and about their own, own childhood, for example. Yeah. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Questions?
Can we use this microphone that's sitting over here?
We've got this one here. Are you going to do questions now or at the end?
We're going to just do it now since we started doing it that way, I thought.
Good.
So I have a question about releases. At least in the U.S., there weren't release dates in the 1980s. That the release date is something that comes later in the industry. Obviously, things were released at some point. They did come out, but there weren't these actual dates on which things were released that were public that you'll find in newspapers or magazines referring to a date when a game will be released, and that becomes sort of an official thing. That comes later.
Mm. Yeah.
So the idea of the release date then, in your case, it begins by being constructed because there really wasn't a release date, so you have to worry about that sort of thing. That makes me wonder a little bit about why you chose to look at this idea of a commercial release date, because there could have been games like academic games or projects like that. People certainly, I would guess, probably wrote. There's evidence probably of some games that people wrote earlier than 1984, let's say.
Yeah.
I guess my question is, why is it important, the commercial release date?
I think that it's not, for us, it's not important. But we have been interested in the why people are discussing about the first commercial publication.
It was important for the amateur historians.
Yeah, so
the question of the first
they started the discussion, and that's why we started to be interested in the debate. And I would say that why they started that was because the commercial related to game industry. So that's why they are more kind of trying to, because they are creating history for Finnish game industry, not about, not that much about the game programming, history of game programming, okay, but game industry, and that's why they want to start with the first commercial game publication. But it's not I think that we are not that interested what really was the first, or we know that there were games in Finland already, for example, during the 1970s, programmed by Finnish within the academia.
So it seemed like those amateur historians were searching for a monument that would be suitable for their frame story to the history of Finnish game industry.
Yes, I guess maybe another way that I'm now rethinking this is not the history of the first commercial game release, no. It's the history of the
historiography.
Kind of in scare quotes, right? You know,
yeah.
This thing that was constructed by these people you're looking at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you very much for that. That was really interesting. Because in Poland, we had this discussion a few years ago. Mm. So like every 6 months, we had a new contendant to the title of the first game. And we started in the 80s and then Dick until the 1962 for the moment. But what is really interesting for me is also not the notion of the first game, but the discourse in comparison, because I was elaborating on it in my PhD, in comparison to the cinema and the look for the first Western movie, for example. Mm. So it is not as much interesting to point it out which movie was the first one and had enough elements that constitute in Western or the first CRPG game or the first roguelike game, etc. But using the theory of Godron of the media prism. So what were the circumstances of this game to appear and what kind of media it remediated and what were the influences and the consequences? So I think this is a very interesting, like the fake look for the first game is a very good framework to elaborate this kind of methodology. Mm.
I just wanted to make a couple of comments. I think it's very similar to television history, which is more what I do, in terms of the sort of low prestige object becomes elevated after time. And again, it goes back to this you know, idea that's already come up twice already in this room, which is that history requires perspective. So the sort of the lesser culture object doesn't become interesting as an official object until much later with a bit of space, a bit of distance, time. And I'm just wondering, your use of the word monument, I guess when I was listening, I was thinking this was about commemorating something and about memorializing something. So, you know, in English anyway, a monument and a memorial, they share some things, but they are also different. So I wonder if there's just a nuance there around this notion, you know, to commemorate something is to remember it, the same way that a memorial is, you know. Slightly different from a monument,
We should use the concept of realm of memory or place of memory or something like that.
Well, no, just a memorial.
With a connection to the...
A memorial has a monument in it. Okay, so we have a memorial to World War I, or a memorial to, you know, and within that memorial is a monument. Usually it's a statue of a soldier.
Yeah.
But the memorial itself is larger. It's actually a larger physical space that you gather around for a ceremony and so forth. So I think it's I'm suggesting a thing about the terms in English that are distinct to me. So I don't know. I don't know Finnish. I don't know if you have the same distinctions or different distinctions.
Actually, in Finnish, the difference between memorial and monument is not.
It's not as much, maybe.
That is the reason why this.
I'm not sure, but I think that in the German tradition of historiographical studying historiography, the monument is used in the way we use it here in this context. Yeah.
Yeah.
So monumental history. Yeah.
So okay. So this is my listening. It's a listening issue then.
Yeah. Very good question.
Yeah.
And it's not so easy because the theoretical context of this monument is of course the heritage community, experience of ownership and experience of shared history and active identity work, which are these actions that construct the heritage community. And the monument there in the middle of these three circles is the area of commemoration, of course. And the monument is the symbol located in this area.
Did you just say one of those circles is identity work?
Yeah. Active identity work.
So to me, that goes back to what you were suggesting, Henry, like the idea of, well, why does the first commercial one matter? Maybe it doesn't matter in the U.S., in the biggest place, the place that is constantly sort of, you know, looming over. Mm. But it's certainly an important idea in Australia. Anything that was the Australian first, you know? So the smaller, the smaller countries, like, take a big stake. You know, it's a huge claim to say we did have a commercial thing at this period in history, or we were in the game. Yeah, we are that important.
And I think the firstness becomes important in the culture where the national history is important frame story, and it is in Finland.
Which then goes back to your whole point of being post-Nokia, you know.
Among the family.
Let's get through happening.
So the difference in the U.S. discourse, and I had been thinking about this actually when you were talking, is like a thing that I'm looking at is the history of the game engine. Mm. And there is, I have to deal with when was the game engine invented. So the first in the U.S. tend to be more oriented towards the technologies or the, you know, the first video game, the first arcade game, you know, this kind of thing. The discussion around Pong is not so much, Pong wasn't a first, you know, and anything like a, it would be silly to say Pong was the first commercial game because, you know, in a way that would be true, but the emphasis, it would be, it was the first of this certain technology. So it tends to be more an invention story than, you know,
it's
sort of a chronology kind of thing like that. And though that's a subtle difference, but it does make a difference in the kinds of sources that you would look at and how you construct that history of what was first. Because for one thing, you couldn't say that a game was the first published commercial game if it was never published. But you might say that something was the first, you might get in discussions about whether something was the first video game that at the time was never really, you know, a video game itself, but pointed to it in one way or another. Well, yes, exactly. Or Tennis for Two, you know, another example that it was the first video game. Well, of course, it wasn't even a video game if you look at the technologies that were configured. But there's a way that you can kind of construct that argument. But you can't do that if you look at a commercial game because there's a packaging involved. There's certain things that are expected of the claim that something is the first commercially published game that have to be there. There's certain elements that you can't really quibble about. They're either there or they're not there. Yeah. So it's a different thing in that sense, as opposed to an invention kind of narrative, which allows you the freedom to construct what that invention was in different ways. It's not as, in that sense, not as concrete as a published game.
Can we finish up with Helen then?
I was just going to add a comment to the issue of first, which was when you're collecting, there's a tendency to want to collect firsts, but collecting firsts in software like games is generally the wrong thing to do because generally they're the worst version, particularly of this era. So that was just something. And the other thing I did have a question for you is you're talking about monuments in history and the role that they play.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering, because you were talking about a monument that was erected by the fan community. So do you see yourselves as iconoclasts pulling down their monument, or are you building a monument around their discourse?
No, I'm just wondering how the history written or oral historical interpretations and the emerging of a new kind of cultural heritage are interrelated. That's what I'm doing.
Are you building any new monuments for us?
No. I think I'm not building monuments. Because I'm just wondering, my question, I'm asking, why is the firstness so important to the amateur historians of Finnish game industry and game culture? Why it's so important?
Yes.
And hypothesis is that it's important because they need it.
Yes, you can read our paper and, and think about whether or not we are creating new monuments in there. Because I think probably we are in some way.
Yeah, that's possible because that's what historians do.
Mm.
More or less intentionally.